We're about to go on a whirlwind adventure. Are you ready?
Yes.
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 Are you?
Yes.
Yes. The kids are ready, and some of our adults. Yes. 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 All right, here we go. You ready? We're going to enjoy so many holidays within the next 20 or so minutes. It's going to fill your heart and blow your mind. Ready? Ready? Woo! 4 Sundays before Christmas begins the tradition of Advent. Each Sunday, a candle on the Advent wreath is lit, each candle having its own meaning. We have one similar over here on our side table. Whoa. Prayers are shared with the lighting of a candle, and work is often done to give back to the community. Kids are checking it out now. They know what's up. When you all came in this morning, you were handed Post-its and a pen or pencil. Do you have them with you? Yes. If you do not raise your hand, we've got a couple of hands. We had some hands up. Thank you. You're going to need those. If you are coming in from home, grab a pen and some paper, and you can join us in this activity.
Oh.
Some Post-its and pens are coming out now. There's a Hanukkah section over there, too. We do not have the gelt this time. I am so sorry.
No gelt for you.
So get ready with your Post-its and your pens, because throughout the rest of the morning, we're going to take moments to write little messages. Okay? And after the service, if you go into the lounge, there are posters that you can attach your Post-its to. Posters for the Post-its. Here we go. On the first Sunday of Advent, a purple candle is lit for hope. So please take a few moments to write down something that is bringing you hope this morning.
December 8th each year is Bodhi Day, the day the Buddha reached full enlightenment. Our first story is about a young man and his journey to understand what it means to live a life of balance to reach enlightenment. By Deborah Hopkinson and illustrated by Kaylee Whitman, this is Under the Bodhi Tree. A long time ago, in a faraway place, a baby was born. His name was Prince Siddhartha. Before his birth, his mother dreamed of a beautiful white elephant. The wise men said it was a sign that the baby would be special. And he was, just like babies then and now and everywhere, and just like you. The baby grew to be a kind and gentle child. Once he found a wounded swan and nursed it back to health so it could soar across the sky again. The little prince wanted to spread his wings, too. But his father said, "You must stay here, away from the world, where we can keep you safe from any pain and sorrow." And so, Siddhartha grew up behind the garden walls of a rich and splendid palace. He had fine new clothes, a grand white horse, the softest rice to eat. But, like the children then and now, everywhere, and just like you, he longed to discover the world. At last, Siddhartha was a young man. His father let him visit the great city. The king ordered the mayor, "Hold a festival in the market with flowers and song and dance. My son must see only happy sights." But of course, the prince was curious and wandered off to explore. And that is how he first came to see hardship, pain, and suffering. First, he gave a sip of water to a person lying sick with fever. Next, he helped an old man with an aching, crooked back across the road. Then he bowed his head to share a grieving family's sorrow. Siddhartha's heart felt heavy, and his own eyes filled with tears. He could not stop wondering, "How can I help others?" "You could do much good as a prince," the king told his troubled son. Siddhartha shook his head. "Even the wisest ruler cannot stop sickness, old age, and death," he said. "I want to find a way to help people live in ease and peace." And so, like seekers then and now and everywhere, the prince set off to find his way, just as you may do someday. At first, Siddhartha looked to others for answers. He journeyed far and long and followed many different paths. But he still felt lost, like a little ship in a stormy sea, tossed by wind and waves. One day, Siddhartha came upon the welcoming shade of a tall, majestic tree. His spirits rose, and he thought, "Perhaps the answers are inside me. I will stay in this pleasant grove until I find a way to peace. Then I can teach others too." And so Siddhartha crossed his legs in quiet meditation. Many days passed. Raindrops fell, cool breezes blew, the sun beat down. And still Siddhartha sat, sheltered by the rustling, heart-shaped leaves of the old and lovely tree. Once, a woman named Sujata passed by and thought, "He looks weak and hungry." She brought him sweetened milk and rice. She smiled and said, "Please, accept this gift. If you are hungry, you should eat." Siddhartha tipped back the bowl to taste the delicious treat. The rice and the milk was warm and sweet. "Thank you for your kindness," he said. Later, on that clear and brilliant night, waves still rippled the surface of his mind. But now, the prince just let his fears and worries come and go and kept on breathing mindfully, in and out, deep and slow. Soon, even the sighing, heart-shaped leaves grew still, as serene as Siddhartha's mind. And then, just before dawn, he looked up. In the eastern sky, a bright planet appeared, the morning star. At that moment, like the swan so long ago, Siddhartha felt himself soar, aware, free, and fully alive. His words fell away, and he saw clearly that all things fit together, big and small, hard and easy, joyful and sad, all part of one wondrous world. In a time long ago and a place far away, a baby was born. His name was Prince Siddhartha. And today we call him the Buddha, the awakened one. Buddha did not stay alone under the heart-shaped leaves of the sacred Bodhi tree. Instead, he rose and went into the world to show the way of peace to others, then and now and everywhere. And yes, of course, to you and me.
So on the second Sunday of Advent, you have your post-its ready, I'm sure. On the second Sunday of Advent, a second purple candle is lit for peace. So now, please take a moment to write down something that is bringing you peace this season.
Same post-it or a new one?
New post-it. New post-it.
The darkest, longest night of the year is Yule, or winter solstice. It's a time when people might build large campfires, sing songs and dance, and eat hearty food, all to welcome back the sun as the days grow longer and the earth begins to thaw. Our second story, written by C.C. Williford, is "'Twas the Night Before Yuletide." "'Twas the night before Yuletide, and all through the glen, not a creature was stirring, not a fox, not a hen. A mantle of snow shone brightly that night as it lay on the ground, reflecting moonlight. The fairies were nestled, all snug in their trees, unmindful of flurries and a chilly north breeze. The elves and the gnomes were down in their burrows, sleeping like babies in their soft earthen burrows. When lo, the earth moved with a thunderous quake, causing chairs to fall over and dishes to break. The little folk scrambled to get on their feet. They raced to the river where they usually meet. What happened? They wondered. They questioned. They probed. As they shivered in night clothes, some bare-armed, some robed. What caused the earth's shudder? What caused her to shiver? They all spoke at once as they stood by the river. Then, what to their wondering eyes should appear but a shining gold light in the shape of a sphere. It blinked and it twinkled, it winked like an eye, then it flew straight up and was lost in the sky. Before they could murmur, before they could bustle, there emerged from the crowd with a swish and a rustle a stately old crone with a hand on her cane, resplendent in green and a flowing white mane. And she passed by them. As she passed by them, the old crone's perfume smelled of meadows and flowers abloom, made each of the fae folk think of the spring when the earth wakes from slumber and the birds start to sing. My name is Gaia, the old crow proclaimed in a voice that at once was both wild and tamed. I've come to remind you, for you seem to forget, that Yule is the time of rebirth. And yet, I see no hearth fires, hear no music, no bells. The air isn't filled with rich, fragrant smells of baking and roasting and simmering stews, of cider that's mulled and other hot brews. There aren't any children at play in the snow or houses lit up by candles' glow. Have you forgotten, my children, the fun of celebrating the rebirth of the sun? She looked at the fae folk, her eyes going round as they shuffled their feet and stared at the ground. Then she smiled, the smile that brings light to the day. Come, my children, she said, let's play. They gathered the mistletoe, gathered the holly, threw off the drab and drew on the jolly. They lit a big bonfire, and they danced and they sang. They brought out the bells and clapped when they rang. They strung lights on the trees and bows, oh, so merry, in colors of cranberry, bayberry, cherry. They built giant snowmen and adorned them with hats, then surrounded them with snowbirds and snowcats and bats. Then, just before dawn, at the end of their feast, before they went homeward to seek out their rest, the fae folk, they gathered round their favorite oak tree and welcomed the sun neath the tree's finery. They were just reaching home when it suddenly came. The gold light returned like an arrow-shot flame. It lit on the treetop where they could see from afar. The gold-like sphere turned into a star. The old crone just smiled at the beautiful sight. "Happy Yuletide, my children," she whispered. "Good night."
All right. Post-it time. You ready? You ready?
Yep.
Okay.
I know what it is.
You know what it is? It's the third Sunday of Advent, and you're right. It's joy. Do you remember what color candle?
Purple.
Purple or pink? The pink candle is lit for joy on the third Sunday of Advent. So as you grab your pink post-it, write down something that is bringing you joy this season.
This year, Hanukkah begins on December 25th, and will end January 2nd. 8 wonderful nights to celebrate the victory of the Jewish people over the Greek armies and the miracle of the lamp oil that lasted for 8 whole nights. Our third story, by Michael J. Rosen and illustrated by Melissa Ewy, Hanukkah lights everywhere. On the night before Hanukkah, we ready the house for company. My sister helps make up the extra beds, and Mom peels apples for the applesauce. I put a new box of candles by the menorah that's waited all year, just like me, for the Festival of Lights. On the first night of Hanukkah, we say the prayer and light one candle with the tall helper candle. Outside, the skinny moon beams like a proud flame against the dark sky. On the second night of Hanukkah, 2 headlights aim right through the window into the living room, where my sister and I spin the dreidel on the floor. Grandpa's here! Yay! On the third night of Hanukkah, I switch on the lamp out front so that my cousins, who are coming to visit, can find our door, and suddenly there are 3 more lights, like our menorah. On the fourth night of Hanukkah, I find 4 lights in the kitchen. Mom fries up platters full of latkes, and 4 flames flicker under the sizzling skillets and the pots steaming on the stove. On the fifth night of Hanukkah, my great-grandma gives me 5 shiny silver dollars. 1 for every birthday I've had. When I line them up on my hand, they stretch from my tippy top fingertip past my wrist and up my arm. They sparkle like five more lights in the candle's glow. On the sixth night of Hanukkah, my family takes a walk down the snow-covered streets. And guess what? Six other houses have menorahs gleaming in their windows. On the seventh day of Hanukkah, at my best friend's house, where he celebrates Christmas, a lamp with just one bulb burns in every window, seven altogether. Just like our menorah tonight, Dad says Hanukkah is also about the joy of different religions sharing a street. On the eighth night of Hanukkah, I find all seven stars in the Big Dipper, plus the famous North Star above us, as though God, too, were lighting his own menorah in the sky. And on the ninth night, which isn't Hanukkah anymore, and the next night after that, and even today, I still see things that remind me of my menorah. And I think about Hanukkah and all about being Jewish in such a wide world of so many other lights.
All right, final post-it. You should have a purple one left. And if you've mixed up the colors, it's okay. We're not being graded, okay? On the fourth Sunday of Advent, a purple candle is lit for love. So take a moment to write down something that is filling you with love this season. You can grab one out in the entryway. There's more.
December 26th is the first night of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa lasts for 7 nights as African Americans honor their heritage, remember the many struggles of their people, and hold hope for a bright future. Our last story this morning is by Garen Eileen Thomas and illustrated by Guy Francis. This is Santa's Kwanzaa. Was the night before Christmas, the very last hour. He was all out of breath and he needed a shower. Poor Santa lamented his pot-bellied girth, though he'd love every cookie for what that was worth. He thought of his house which awaited him there and how he'd trade in these boots for a comfortable pair. So he loaded his sleigh up with empty cloth sacks. Next, he gave his reindeer a pat on the backs. And then up, up, and away they all flew through the day and the night. Little Rudolph did too. I talked too fast. Then off in the distance shone a light for sore eyes, his sweet, humble home, disguising a surprise. Santa sauntered so softly through the open front door, and he pulled off his suit, which he left on the floor. When who should appear but the light of his life. The behind-the-scenes maven, his loving boss wife, who held out his kente to resounding applause and shouted out with the elves, "Welcome home, Santa Claus!" It was time to rejoice in the Santa Claus way, to celebrate Kwanzaa this 26th day of December, and then, in a marvelous twist, the elves approached Santa with their very own list. "These gifts for you, Santa," they said with great glee, which they fetched from their spots round the great Christmas tree. First Nia, Kumba, and Kujikadulia, then Imani, Umoja, Ujima, and Ujamaa placed each great Kwanzaa item upon Santa's lap, which brought tears to his eyes, the old jolly sap. And each night through the seventh, the family showed their deep pride in their roots as their cups overflowed, till the last eve was ending, and Santa decreed he had more Kwanzaa spirit than he would need his reindeer to go on one more of their night flights, but they'd have to go lighter to reach greater heights. So the elves and the misses packed up themselves in the sleigh, and when Santa was seated, they set out on their way to the top of the trees, to the galaxy's end, and he thought of the message he wanted to send. Then, using his magic, which he gets from above, Santa lit up the heavens in colors of love. 'Twas the most glorious vision in the whole universe. Happy Kwanzaa, peaceful men, goodwill toward Earth. Santa's hope and his blessing for the people of Earth.
I need a Santa Claus to plop in my living room every year, because that's awesome.
I would say so, yes.
And an elf and a reindeer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just staring.
So Advent culminates on Christmas Eve. In some traditions, a white candle is added to the wreath and is lit in honor of Jesus' birth. His arrival on earth was thought to be a blessing to all people. In the spirit of hope, peace, joy, and love, think about what is a blessing you wish to bring to all people. And when you've got it, and if you're comfortable, call it out. And if you're at home, you're welcome to pop it into the chat. Do you have a blessing you want to share with all of the people of the world? What's making you happy this season? Your fat cat.
Cats are good that way.
I think a blessing is how we all get to coexist on this earth together with love and joy. It's just a worldwide community, and I feel blessed by it. Does anybody have any blessings they want to share? Beliefs of the Unitarian Church. Thank you, Thelma.
Getting to do this right now.
Getting to do this. Nancy gets to sit in the joy corner and make snowflakes with the kids.
Among other things.
Among other things. Yes. Celebrating these holidays this season with your community, with this chalice community. Hold that thought. I see a hand over here. Yes, Jill.
Observing all of these sculptures, these beautiful sculptures that the children are making.
Observing all of these beautiful sculptures and decorating these windows, bringing us our white Christmas and white Hanukkah and white Kwanzaa and white Yule. And White Bodhi Day. Yes, Odin.
My fat cat.
Your fat cat. Blessings of a fat cat.
Being able to cook and not having to eat it because I have a house full of worker people putting my house back together after a damage. just go to waste, and they love it.
Wow. All of the cooking that you get to share with all of the people that are putting your house back together, that is definitely a blessing. It sounds wonderful. Leanne shares gratitude is a blessing. Most definitely, Leanne.
My wife's fruit cake, which nobody likes, so I get
to eat it. Your wife's fruit cake, which nobody else eats, but you love it, so you get to eat it all. Yes. We'll toss in one more. What do you have for us?
Chocolate.
Chocolate is a blessing. Okay, one more. Your two cats. What are their names? Tendry and Apricot.
I've had them since, September.
You've had them since September. You've got a lovely little family you're building. Do you feel that?
What?
What? Do you feel the warmth in the air that only can be found at this time of year?
Yes.
I also feel the warmth in this room compared to the kitchen. You feel the warmth in this room compared to the kitchen, yes. It is such a blessing that we can come together and share our own traditions and listen to other people share their traditions and share and be open. That's the joy of this season. That's the spirit of this season. I can't describe the feeling I feel. It's a feeling. It's a special feeling, and it doesn't have words. It just makes me feel good. Makes me feel so good because I get to be here with all of you.
Love and compassion.
Love and compassion. That's part of it. It is so many words and colors and sounds and feelings and colors. Yes. All the colors. All the colors. Thank you so much for taking this journey together. Thank you for opening your hearts. This morning has definitely, most certainly, been the greatest celebration.